Elliot Shurpark's all over covering not just the Eagles, but the 76ers for us as well. Elliot brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up, buddy? How you doing? You feeling good after, you know, you said last week they weren't going to sign anybody, that there was no shot they were going to get anyone. No one wants to play with Joel. Honestly, I don't even want an apology to me because obviously I won the debate and I had a lot of fun. I want you to apologize to the Sixers and Josh Harris for not believing them, because exactly what I said was going to happen has happened this morning.
Take caution in your tone.
Settle down there. All right. Settle down.
Hold on. Can I? You
know, what?
I would just like to apologize. I didn't play Elliot's music to start the show.
Oh, for the love of God.
My bad, Elliot. I forgot. I'm sorry. You deserved it.
I give you credit for still having me on. It's good to see you reach across the aisle to someone you lost to. So I look forward to this discussion.
Well, this is like when Reagan and Tip O'Neill would break bread together and figure out how to come to terms even though they were on opposite sides. You know, like, you and I can still be buds, Elliot.
But at least we still know the Philadelphia people are on my side, which is good.
Well, listen, I will give you credit for this. Most people thought you won the debate. And
All right.
And you clearly, in hindsight, were right that the 76ers would do enough to make most of us feel a lot different after free agency is over. I mean, it's not even over, but the main thing is over. And you nailed that. All right, so Elliot, how good are they? I mean, amongst other things today, we're talking about, are the Sixers truly, I mean, I know last week you were saying yes. I guess you're even bolstered now. How real are their chances, Elliot, against the Boston Celtics?
They're extremely real. You know, I think on a larger NBA scale, they're without question a top five team in the league. And when you're a top five team in the league, you obviously have a real chance. And when you look at the Eastern Conference, I think they're probably considerably better than the Knicks. The Bucks are interesting, obviously, like with Giannis and Dame, who knows. But they're a team that looks to me like they're falling apart as opposed to coming together. And so it leaves the Celtics. And the Celtics are a great team. They are a better team than the Sixers right now. The Celtics are also a team that have to carry the burden of repeating a championship. And that's something the Sixers won't have to deal with. When the two teams were matched up 2 years ago in the playoffs, it was an extremely close series, right? They almost won the series in game six. So, you know, the Celtics are better, but the Sixers are right there with them after this move. I think they're without question an extremely legitimate championship contender.
Elliot, how much dog does Paul George have in him? Does he have the toughness that Joel Embiid was asking for when he asked the team to go out and get a guy like PJ Tucker in Philadelphia?
Yeah, so one thing I've heard on the station that I think is unfair to Paul George is saying that he might be a loser, that he's not a winner. Like, he is much, much closer to a winner than he is a loser. I mean, he's carried three different teams to the conference championship. We've seen in Philadelphia how hard that is to do, right? Always, you know, losing in the second round. And he's been one of the best players in the league. If you look at his playoff stats compared to Jimmy Butler's, they're exactly the same, basically. Points, rebounds, shooting. I mean, Jimmy Butler has obviously gone further than Paul George has, but Paul George has come up big in plenty of playoff games. And so if you move into next season, really what it's going to come down to is, in the final 5 minutes of game 6 and 7 in the second round, is he going to be there? And I think he's shown that he has done that before.
So, Elliot, who has a better chance to win a championship in their next season, the Sixers or the Eagles?
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier today. It's a great question. I would say the Eagles, just because it's so hard to win an NBA championship. To win an NBA championship, you have to win, obviously, 4 best-of-7 rounds. It's just tougher to get through. It's a longer playoff stretch. But I think they're basically even in terms of how good the teams are. I mean, both go into the season with one of the best rosters in their respective sports. They're both filled with guys that have been there and done it before. Neither has won championships, but they've all won playoff games and, you know, been deep in the playoffs. So they're close, but I would probably say the Eagles have a better chance just because of all the sports, I think winning the NBA championship is the hardest.
Elliot, let's talk about this Eagles team. You know, we played some audio about 25 minutes ago of Jaws with some questions about the Eagles' D. He's a big believer in Vic Fangio, but thinks they still probably have a long way to go. How would you finish the sentence of the Eagles' defense is blank this year? What are they?
Is top 10.
I would really?
I think they're going to be a top 10 defense.
Now, how do you figure that?
Well, because they were close to a top 10 defense most of last year before it fell apart. And obviously it fell apart in epic fashion. But the first, you know, 10 games of the season, or, you know, a little less than that probably, they were really good. Like,
this is a top 10 scoring defense?
They were around there. I think they were 12th or 13th, you know, for most of it, until it fell apart, obviously, with the Dallas, San Francisco, Buffalo. Like, it fell apart for sure. But for the first part of that season, they were really good. They won them a game in Kansas City. They were good against the Dolphins. They were good against the Cowboys. They were pretty good against the Patriots, obviously scoring a touchdown and holding them at the end. So I think this idea that the Eagles' defense is starting from ground zero is probably not completely true. I think there is a lot of talent on there. I've been very impressed by what I saw in the offseason from the secondary. I think the secondary is going to be much improved. And I think even just getting a competent level coordinator in Fangio is really going to help. So I think this team is probably going to be a top 10 defense. And I, again, wow, think they're much, much closer to the top than they are at the bottom.
Elliot, you know, since the OTAs and since the mini camps, I'm sure things have sort of settled down and the team has a better idea of where guys are going to be defensively. Does that feel like it is, like, sort of coalesced? Like the DBs, the cornerbacks, we got a lot of them. Does this team know who they want to go with as their starting cornerbacks on the outside and the nickelback?
I think if they were getting on a flight to Brazil tomorrow, they would know who the starters are going to be. It's going to be Darius Slay on one side, Kiwi Ringo on the other. I think Avante Maddox would be a nickel, and then obviously the safeties are going to be Reed and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. But there's a long time before then, and I do think they're very open to change. I could see Cooper DeJean winning that nickel spot from Avante Maddox. I think Isaiah Rogers is going to push Kiwi Ringo. The tough one's Quinyon Mitchell.
Ringo.
That's an incredible amount of
right
faith
now
in Kiwi Ringo.
He's starting for you?
And Elliot, that's based on a couple weeks of OTAs that he looked that good? He jumped everybody?
Well, so I think it's not just that. One, they did spend somewhat significant draft capital to get him. I mean, they traded up, if I remember correctly, it was the top of the fourth round to get him. They moved up using capital to do that. He played a lot of snaps from last year. He was a guy that at Georgia was once viewed as potentially a top of the first half of the first round. So he has a ton of pedigree there. But really, if you look at it, I mean, it's him, it's Isaiah Rogers. There's Quinyon Mitchell, who's a first-round pick but is a rookie. So it's not like, you know, they're starting over Darius Slay. I mean, I think he has the pedigree for the job, but also everyone that he's up against, you know, is similar.
Hmm. Elliot, when does this James Bradbury charade end? Like, when does he get cut or traded? I mean, we're in July now. He's still here. Like, when does and is there a chance they actually keep him, carry him, and deactivate him every game for the purpose of salary cap management?
I don't think so. No. At this point, the cutting him is minimal impact on the salary cap. If they would have done it at the end of last season or the beginning of free agency, they would have lost a ton of cap space. At this point, they have a ton of cap space. I believe it's 20 or 25 million they have right now. Cutting Bradbury would be a minimal loss. So I don't think the contract is saving him at this point. At this point, I think he'll probably be on the roster until a team offers them something. If someone, you know, suffers an injury in training camp or figures out their corners aren't as good as they thought, maybe you get a six-round pick that has a condition to turn into a fifth or something like that. They have a 90-man roster. There's no real rush to move on from him. So I don't think he'll be on the final roster, but I think they'll probably wait to see if they can get something.
Elliot, this is sort of a minutia-type question here, but we know Cam Jurgens, he's our center now. Someone needs to be making the calls, you know, declaring the mic out there for protection purposes with the West Coast offense. Offenses usually have either the quarterback or the center making these calls. Do we know after the OTAs and the mini camps whether it's Cam Jurgens or Jalen Hurts who is declaring the mic for protection purposes for our offense?
Yeah. I don't have a definitive answer for you on that. I think that's something they're still figuring out with Kellen Moore coming in. Mm-hmm. I think they want to go through training camp, see, you know, who they want to do it. But also it will be a little bit of everybody. I mean, Jalen had responsibility in that last year. Kelce helped with it last year. There's audibling. You mentioned the protection pickup as the center. Jurgens will obviously be extremely involved in, you know, making sure they shift to the right side and all those things. So I think it's going to be something they figure out, but ultimately it'll be something they're both involved in.
Elliot, final thing here. Help us out. Help me out. What's the date we need to know for training camp? Is it like the 22nd, 23rd? I know it's coming up. When is it?
Yeah, so I believe that the 23rd is a Monday. So I believe they report on the 23rd, and I think their first practice will be on the 24th.
Well, 23rd, that's exactly 3 weeks.
Oh, you don't have to tell me, man. I'm super excited. I think it's I've said it again, it's the best time of the year. And I think especially with this team, all the talent, the battles. I mean, this is probably the roster with the most training camp battles I can think of that doesn't involve a quarterback. So it's going to be an amazing training camp.
All right. I look forward to it. Elliot, good work, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, Elliot Shure-Parks, 215-592-9494. Coming up, what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday about the 76ers' acquisition of Paul George. More from Spike on what he said about it. And also, we'll get to the Phils, who open up a new series tonight in Chicago, in Wrigley Field, which is always fun to see the Phils out there in the Windy City in Chicago. All of that and more on the line, including your thoughts on the Paul George acquisition. Good enough or not? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP. Hey, a tasty new game. It's coming your way. Test your skills in Kirby's Quick Run at tastycake.com. That's tastycake.com. Help Kirby the Crimpet collect all of the tasty treats. Play now to enter Tasty Cake Sweepstakes for a chance to win exclusive prizes. You can increase your chances of winning by playing every day. That's right. Increase your chances of winning by playing every day. And don't forget to celebrate National Crimpet Day. It's coming up soon on July 7th. By snagging some limited edition confetti crimpets in stores now. Tasty Cake, accept no substitutes. That's right, we got Def Leppard tickets on the line today. This is a big song, man. We got Journey tickets. We got the Steve Miller Band tickets. They're all going to be together. A concert coming up in a couple weeks. You can win them today. But you got to give us the best combination of roles in television through the years. One person, two roles. I'll tell you this. I don't think people have gotten creative enough with the answers. Let me give you an example. Barbara Walters. Now, I'm not a fan of The View, right? It's kind of annoying. But, like, The View in 2020, it's not insignificant roles. I mean, there are a lot. If you go into the politics,
that
you go into sports.
Winning answer.
I'm just telling you, there are massive, massive
well,
answers
why did
still
you
available.
Just take a winning answer?
I'm trying to
that
spur
really
thought.
Was a
now
winning
someone's
going
to call and try to give that
I'm
answer.
I'm trying. See, thank you, Ashlyn. Thank you. Can you punch John?
I would never.
All right, let me ask this. Seltzer, how many Ashlyns to
never.
Beat up John? Could 50 Ashlyns beat
absolutely.
Up John?
Yes,
50. Yes. Oh my God, yeah.
Kidding? I think it's probably like about 10.
I was going to say 8
of
to 10.
Course.
8 to 10.
It would take at least 18. At least.
No.
Come
on.
I think you're underestimating just the volume of Ashlyns that would be coming at him.
I don't know, man.
Even 2 or 3 of another human being against anyone
he
could
be
probably beat them.
Oh, boy. All right,
5'7" of me.
215-592-9494. By the way, all jokes aside for a moment, I was disappointed and sad earlier this week to hear that Dick Vitale has cancer again. Mm. So our best to Dickie V, one of the legends of broadcasting, and someone who, and there's almost an irony to this, someone who has raised millions for the fight against cancer. Now, he announced it over the weekend, for the fourth time in his life, Nell has cancer again. Mm. You know, so God bless Dickie V. God bless everyone out there listening to us right now that's got cancer and pulling for you. You know, Dickie V and everyone out there, it's a brutal thing, and we wish him the very best. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Actually, one other thing I want to get to quickly, and then right back to the phones. I saw a tweet, this was in the last day or so, from Adrian Wojnarowski. When he announced the Kelly Oubre thing. So let me read this here. Adrian Wojnarowski, in his tweet announcing Kelly Oubre's contract, this goes back to, you know, over 24 hours ago. He said, ESPN sources free agent guard Kelly Oubre Jr. signed on a 2-year $16.3 million deal to stay with the Sixers. He says the deal includes a player option on the 25-26 season. So basically he's locked in for a year. He can opt out and become a free agent. If he has a good year, he'll do that. Here's what struck me about the tweet. Free agent guard Kelly Oubre. Is he their shooting guard?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I thought he was like their small forward last year.
Yeah.
I guess he could play shooting guard?
Sure.
But I just wondered, like, was this an inadvertent by Adrian Wojnarowski? Or is this like, no, their intent is he's your shooting guard? I don't know.
It's a great question.
Because wouldn't you say last year he was primarily the small forward?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, basketball is, you know,
it's a little interchangeable.
Positionless and all that. But yeah, I think that's probably purposeful.
It just struck me as, And it happens, of course, within, you know, within like 18 hours of DeAndre Melton being gone, who I think most of it is viewed as not a great option as a starting shooting guard, but the best option they had. So make of it what you will. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Steve in Willowgrove. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hello, buddy.
What's up, Steve?
And listen, everybody, I hope you have a nice holiday, and hopefully, Jimmy, you'll relax, try to chill a little.
I'm always relaxed, Steve. What are you talking about?
Steve, for me, the holiday has started today.
You're going 1,000 miles a minute, man.
Oh, man, you're not kidding. This guy, man, he's like a dog ready to bite a face off.
I know. Or a person ready to bite a dog's face off.
Ashlyn, do you know that Seltzer, about 4 years ago, his face was bitten by a dog.
Ripped open.
This is
because he bit the dog's face.
Let's tell the full story. The dog had my dog in a death grip. My dog got attacked by another dog.
Well, it wasn't death grip. Your dog did not die. So it actually was not a death grip.
You're right, but I thought it was moment, it's got its jaws wrapped around my dog's neck. I think my dog is dying in front of me.
So, Ashlyn, what would you do?
I couldn't rip the dog.
I couldn't rip the... I'm trying to rip its mouth open. It didn't work, so I bit the dog's face, and then the dog bit me.
You bit the dog's face?
Yeah, I did. Hell yeah.
So the dog
saved my dog's life.
And so the dog latched on.
I'd do it exactly the same way again if I were there.
This is why the guy's got a beard. He's covering up Tyrion Lannister under there.
No, it's because I'm lazy to shave. Yeah. Lazy to shave.
Tyrion Lannister under there.
All jokes aside, he got very lucky because it really could have been really bad. And he's very not much scarred. He's very lucky.
You can barely tell, like comparatively. Yeah. I had over 100 stitches in my face.
What?
Yeah.
You bit a dog's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
pretty
Steve.
Badass.
Steve, hello. Hello, buddy.
And Ashlyn.
Hi.
Ashlyn. Welcome. Welcome to Hammer Heaven.
It really is heaven here. Let me tell you.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, hammer!
There you go. Get ready.
Gotcha. Right. And real fast, the Russian story, when those guys came into Philadelphia,
yep.
They didn't want to come out. I think it was after the second period. Because they were getting beat up.
Yeah, he went back in the dressing room. And that's not to say, we're not paying you. You're not getting
not
any of the money.
You, baby.
That's right.
So Jonesy, you know, you heard Briere there chuckling. And guess what? Jonesy pulled some magic.
I know, but there's no doubt Jonesy talked to Putin. There's no question. Keith Jones had an eyeball to eyeball with Vlad Putin, and Jonesy won.
They had
Putin back down.
leave it to Jonesy. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Listen, all right, go ahead.
Guys. Have a nice holiday.
Thanks, buddy.
And one other point, Joe. You know, the caller about an hour ago said he came from another radio station.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other radio station. Okay?
Well, it's all good, my man. Give me an answer here. Best combination of two TV roles.
Well, I'm thinking Richie Cunningham and Opie.
Already said. Give me a different answer.
All right. How about Meathead from All in the Family?
And?
The director. He was a director and an actor.
Okay, so from the same show to... Okay, yeah, there's various people that have directed on shows they've been in. Okay, it's an interesting answer. I hadn't thought of that turn, but that is technically two different roles. That's true. 215-592-9494. By the way, time's yours. Seltzer tells me, John, a little light today on the time's yours line.
Oh, no.
We did not get as many calls as we normally do, so I will encourage people, whatever's on your sports mind, at 215-238-4500, like the Paul George thing, if you can't get through on the regular phone line, what do you make of it? 215-238-4500.
You can also call about Joe's voice cracking nonstop today, like this.
What is a good one? Like, can.
Holy cow.
Yikes.
Is that allergies or something?
Can you play that again, James? Play that again. This is so embarrassing, but it is kind of funny. One, like, can. Come on.
It really is like a goose. That's a honk.
It's three
that
times
is a
today.
Straight up honk.
That was
man.
Scary.
Why is this happening?
That's a good question.
I think it's a pollen type thing in the air.
Okay.
Like, I think your voice is affected. I don't think this alright thing.
No, that's weird.
You don't like
that's
that.
New.
All right.
I'm mighty.
Yeah.
It does a lot.
I can work with that. I'm mighty.
But you're yeah, is a new thing.
Well, you know, it's my transition.
Recent. Like the last 2 months.
Well, here's the way I view it. Remember when you watched Curb Your Enthusiasm and he always had the transition music from one scene to the next? He had like four or five songs that were the transition musics. That's what my I'm ready. I got you. We're good there. Now let's pivot forward. All right. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe find a new transition.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe give one of these. Every time you want a transition.
All right. Let's go to Ray. He's calling from Pensauken. What's going on, Ray? Raymond.
Great, Ray.
What's up, buddy?
Listen, Joe, the number one thing in any sport we need is health. So we just going to
Oh, it is. Wait, he's still there. He came back. Hello, Ray. Go ahead.
What happened?
No, Ray,
there?
We had you. We lost you. You're back. This is like a resurrection. Go ahead.
Oh, man, that's crazy. But can we all say that Embiid, when he's healthy, which is the number one thing, is the best player in the NBA?
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say when he's healthy, I'm going to say when he's healthy, he's one of the two best players with him and Jokic.
Okay, so even with that being said, you got a great rim protector, and you need a championship coach, which we have now. No Doc Rivers. And also, Paul George gets the shots that Tobias was getting, you think? And Paul George is almost a 40% or maybe even more three-point shooter from three-point. So with the catch and shoot, and no double team, and even if you are going to double team and beat, now you got to pick your poison.
Ray, I want to ask you a question because I hear you pumped up, and I'm pretty excited too. I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah. I'm going to give you the next 3 years, not even one, 3 years. Will there be a year, yes or no, if you had to bet your home, yes or no, Joel Embiid will stay healthy for two straight months in the playoffs sometime in the next three seasons, yes or no?
Man. I'm gonna say yes because you bring
for your home, not your heart. This isn't about your heart. We're betting your home. If you really had to bet your home, is he gonna do it?
No.
Oh no.
Sorry.
He's done it one time. He has done it.
But, John, no.
And it was a truncated time,
he stayed healthy one time for four games. They got eliminated in four games in the bubble. They didn't play long enough to get hurt. And by the way, they had barely played before that. They didn't play before that much other than maybe like eight games in the bubble to get hurt before that. So, anyway. All right.
So really, he's never done
Of course he's never done it. I mean, 2 months? Of course not. Of course he's never done 2 months.
Not even close.
Ray, give me an answer here. Best combination, two TV roles.
Listen, Joe, you're going to like this one. I don't know how to say his name exactly, but I'm going to go with Benjamin Franklin, Hawkeye Pierce, and Arnold Vinick on the West Wing and on MASH.
You know, that's a good answer right there. I mean, the Vinick thing, as much as I love the West Wing, ultimately will probably not elevate him enough. But he was very good in the West Wing. And obviously, Hawkeye Pierce is a big-time answer. 215-592-9494. Speaking of answers, we got answers yesterday from Stephen A. Smith, what he thinks of the 76ers getting Paul George. Here's Stephen A.'s perspective on the move.
I think this elevates the Philadelphia 76ers, yes, above the Knicks, because Joel Embiid is that dude. Tyrese Maxey is that dude. You add Paul George, you keep Kelly Oubre. There is no question that the Sixers are a team to be reckoned with, and they deserve a lot of credit. We also got to really encapsulate what they're getting in Paul George. 47% shooting from the field. 41.3% shooting from three-point range. 90.7% shooting from the three-point line. All career highs just this past season. So this is a brother that recognized he was approaching free agency, stepped up, answered the call, his availability, and the fact that he played like an all-star. All three, him, Maxey, and Embiid, were all all-stars last season. So we got to look at it from that standpoint, right? We also have to take a moment to say, okay, Daryl Morey, what else you going to do to build this roster? Because you don't want to just leave it to those three. And Daryl Morey is as good as of an executive as he has been. What he hasn't done is gotten his team to the finals and obviously have not delivered the championship.
Well, that is true. That is true. Look, I mean, obviously, Morey, they have enough that they should have a shot. You want to see him fill it out with more. I mean, one of the things I think that's fair is that Boston, you know, take a guy like that White as their fifth best player. You know, like, that's a hell of a fifth best player. Mm-hmm. You know, right now it's like the Sixers have three, Kelly Oubre's four. Frankly, I don't think Kelly Oubre should be the fourth best player on a team that wins a title. I want to see him knock down a peg or two. I want to see him become five or six. I'm just telling you, I've seen enough NBA through the years of him and with last year with the Sixers, knock him down to five or six.
So how does that work? What type of guy can you bring in?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not – Look, there's trade possibilities, obviously. You could use your draft picks to trade for someone. Mm-hmm. You could use the players they've signed, like Kelly Oubre or Andre Drummond, to trade when they become
fine-tune things as the season
eligible to be traded. Mm-hmm. There's also always the buyout market, of which, you know, Daryl Morey is seemingly involved in every year, trying to, you know, bring someone in. I mean, you would hope that this is the kind of team that when some NBA veteran gets cut in February, gets traded and cut, that
we're a destination.
Yeah, like let's I want to go there. You know, and so I can't tell you who that guy is now. But yeah, I think the Sixers have enough that they should contend for a title. Obviously, .. if Joel stays healthy. But that's the big F. 215-592-9494. You know, something else we talked about earlier in the show. James, let's get into this roster construction with the Phils. They started a serious night with the Cubs. They still sit, obviously, well atop the NL East, 8 games up. To me, the most fascinating thing going on right now with the Phillies is finding out these 6 or 7 guys that are all getting shots for what's going to ultimately be like 3 or 4 roster spots in the postseason. Who's going to get them? Who's not? I mean, James, there's a bunch of guys playing right now more than they normally would because Harper's out and Schwarber's out. And, you know, the JT thing, I'm not talking as much about that. That's one or the other, a catcher. I'm talking about Cody Clemens. I'm talking about Rojas. I'm talking about Pache.
Dahl.
Mm-hmm. Whit Merrifield. Yep. Like, there's a bunch of them.
Bunch of dudes.
So, James, who ultimately do you trust?
So it's a great question. And then you get into all the things with options, and there are so many different ways that this team can be.
Let me just say one thing. I think there's an argument. Look, I don't want Schwarber and Harper out. Okay, I want to be clear. But this is a benefit of those guys
to
being
find
out.
You
get to find out.
Yeah.
No more of a guy getting 3 at-bats a week. Like, all these guys are getting real playing time right now. Who can play, who can't? Like, I hope we know soon for sure if Whit Merrifield has it or not. Because right now, he looks to me like he does not.
Yeah, I just think that look, they're going to have guys come back, and that'll have some roster gymnastics there. Yep. But I don't think we'll really know until the trade deadline. And a question of how many guys, whether they bring in one outfielder
or
two. You know, it's going to be a massive thing. I think as of now, you know, I think Sosa is really the only guy I'm sure of. You know,
he's in.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the only guy I'm sure of. I think Dahl has done enough so far where I would probably take him over. Clemens can play multiple positions.
I
that's
like
what
Cody
makes it hard. I do too. But
Dahl
gives you some power. Dahl's the only guy who I feel confident can come into a big spot and maybe hit a home run for you.
Maybe.
And that is important off the bench.
Well, but I'll say this. I feel
Cody
it's less
Clemens
important
could.
Than it used to be because I don't have a pitcher anymore.
It is, but it still helps.
The classic pinch hitter.
But we saw it in the playoffs last year. He should have pinch hit for Ross once, then he did the second time.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. Like, pinch hitters can still matter, especially if we're talking about a team that's going to run out Pache or Rojas or someone like that in center field if they don't make a trade for one. So, and then again, like the idea too, where you're talking about to win regular season games versus like a guy like Pache. Like, I don't think Pache is an everyday player, but as a guy off the bench in the playoffs who can play great defense and run, like, that is a valuable guy to have in a playoff.
If you have a two-run lead entering the ninth inning.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of factors in this, and all these guys do different things well. And struggle in other spots. You know what I mean? Strengths and weaknesses differ between them, is
but
what I'm trying to say.
Offensively speaking, Cody Clemens and David Dahl are way out ahead
of the other outfielders. I agree. A million percent.
But it's almost like, it's almost impossible for me to differentiate between the two.
But then the other two are easily the best. Rojas and Pache are light years better fielders than both Dahl and Clemens. I mean, Clemens isn't an outfielder. Like, he'll play out there, but he's, you know, his natural position is, I mean, I don't even know whether it's third or first or whatever.
Maybe it's 1-1.
Yeah,
it could be.
Maybe you take one hitter and you take one fielder.
I think you have to do that. I mean, you got to take at least one fielder. You have to for the playoffs. You have to.
I agree with that. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot going on here. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Joe, you're going to ask the guy to bet his home on a player whose internet homepage is WebMD his health?
Well, I just wanted to drill down. Was it hope or was it actual logic I was hearing? Because if you know, and again, Ken, further proof that the Hammer would be an exceptional attorney. See, this is the thing. I would get that guy on a stand. Bah! I'd wail away with the verbal jabs, and then I'd win the case. I mean, that's what the Hammer does.
Objection!
Yeah, I would. I object. What do you object to? I object to everything. I don't know.
Overruled.
Yeah. All right, Ken, go ahead.
I really want to talk about the Phils, but John, at some point I would love to get into this conversation with you, maybe when camp happens, about why you seem, why your perception is so convinced that Hassan Reddick does a good job of anchoring in against the run. I mean, you know, NFL Next Gen Stats credited him with 7 run stops last year. I just don't see what you see, and there's not enough time to break it down.
Yeah,
now,
you guys have disagreed a lot on this for the last basically 9 months or something, whatever it's been.
And it seems to me that Howie agrees with me, so I'd like to know what John thinks he sees on tape that I don't see. Listen, I'm really looking forward to seeing Mercado pitch tonight, seeing what you have here. It's another guy that he came from Tampa Bay, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct.
Tampa. I don't guess we don't call it Tampa Bay. So it'll be interesting to see how many of these young arms the Phillies actually managed to plunder from Tampa between Christopher Sanchez and now Michael Mercado.
Jose Alvarado is from Tampa as well.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this kid's got in him. I'm just going to throw a name out there for you because this has been rolling around my head for a while, and I was down there for the series this weekend, and I don't know if I think it's going to happen or if I hope it's going to happen, but I think there's a really strong possibility the Phillies trade for Jazz Chisholm. And
well, just know this. Let me tell you something, Ken. Based on what, I forget if it was Ben Davis or Ruben.
It was Ruben, I believe.
Okay. It was one of them said to us recently, Ken, like totally does not expect it because of culture, clubhouse fit, and the way the Phillies vibe in their clubhouse together. And the one, and again, I forget if it was Ruben or Ben. I know
it was Ruben.
Definitely Ruben?
I'm sure it was Ruben.
All right. Like, the idea, if he's a hot dog, like, you don't want a hot dog walking in. Because I'll say this. He looks to me like a hot dog. Like, he's a skilled player, but he does look like a hot dog. I mean, the way he celebrates sometimes, when his team's down like 4 runs, you know, and his team's got a record 20 games below 500, it's like, dude, get some perspective here.
So, I think he just loves playing a game.
I like him, too. I'm
maybe.
With Ken. I like Jazz
Ken,
a lot.
I don't know him well enough, okay, obviously. But I will say this. If they identify that as an issue, then I would be very careful.
He hurts us a lot.
He is one of their best players, obviously. I mean, obviously.
Well, they are selling, right? And I see a young guy who just likes having fun. I mean, the game I was at on Saturday, he stole a Fanatics quad. And he was driving around field on
the
Fanatics quad. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of ways to interpret it. You don't know what's going through a guy's mind. And
Ken, you could interpret that like he's goofing off.
Yeah. Well,
like you know what I mean? Like, I hear you. It's a funny moment. But if I'm the manager of a team that's 20 games below 500.
I think you're being a stickler,
James,
man. Like, again,
James.
Like, find ways to have fun. Baseball needs fun. Like, baseball needs.
No, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. I'm talking about attention to detail to win the game, which they did win that game on Saturday. But
yeah, and he had a big hit.
No, I look.
You know, as long as he's getting down the field, what do you care? Like, what does it matter playing the sport?
Let me turn to the one guy here that played pro sports. Now, John, your sport is different. You don't have time in between innings like a baseball team does. But, I mean, how would Andy Reid or John Gruden feel if one of your players starts messing around with the mascot?
I mean, Tommy Lasorda used to mess around with the mascot, right?
I'm asking John. John, what's your opinion?
I can't even comprehend what would happen. That's a different time, though. Maybe it works.
It's a different sport. I mean, again, Tommy Lasorda used to mess around with the mascot in the same way, and he was the World Series winning manager of the Dodgers.
Lasorda's main thing was he was mad at the mascot and wanted to kick his ass.
Yeah, but he still was doing a bit and entertaining the fans
sometimes.
And the crowd.
Ken, give me an answer. Combination of 2 TV roles.
Just one last thing. You know, it's a young, talented guy who has to find a way to get through a 162-game season that's going.
Oh, cry me a river.
No, it can be hard, dude. You act like it's not like
Ken,
it.
Ken, give me two roles. What do you got?
Well, this is actually 2 roles. Joe, you probably know this, but Lucille Ball was Lucille Ball on I Love Lucy.
Yep.
And Lucy Carmichael on Here's Lucy.
You got it, my man. Ken, appreciate the phone call right there. All right, so look, let's get to today's Twitter poll question. Actually, questions. We got 2 of them. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let Armin Chevy be your electric vehicle dealer in stock now, the all-new Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which team has a better chance to win a championship in their next season? Is it A, the Eagles, or B, the Sixers? Both are in the top 5 or 6 of their sport. Sixers right now, in a lot of spots, are actually 3rd. third for chance to win the title. That's pretty incredible. Odds to win the title. Eagles a little bit behind that, but not far behind that. Eagles or Sixers, better chance to win a championship in their next season. Let's get to the other poll question and all weigh in right now ourselves. Biggest concern about Paul George with the Sixers. So we broke this down into four choices here. And, of course, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines as well. Because, you know, amongst us here, we're pretty excited Paul George is here. But we all recognize that there are, you know, potential, you know, issues. Biggest thing that concerns you. John, you said choice D earlier when you said will to win. So the four choices. Ashlyn, give me your answer here. Ashlyn Sullivan in today, Rhea and Devin both off. Ashlyn, of course, from NBC Sports Philadelphia and one of her own here at WIP. All right, Ashlyn, we got these four choices. Tell me which you would say is the biggest concern with Paul George. A, he is declining and will continue to decline. B, injuries. C, he's not actually that great. D, his will to win. He's pretty good, but he's never really had the eye of the tiger. Which bothers you the most?
My biggest concern is his age, just because of the length of the contract, and I think a declining player. I hope I'm wrong with that, but just history tells us.
So you combine A and B. You just said decline and injuries.
Not so much injuries. His peak has passed,
decline.
In my opinion. Yeah.
Choice A.
Yeah.
Decline. I mean, it's a reasonable choice. Seltzer, which one hits you?
I'm with Ashton. Exact same thing. Like, and again, I think he's still a good player, obviously, but we're talking about 4 years, he's going to be 38 at the end of the deal. Like, that would be my big... And I'm not... I don't really feel the... I think he's got what to win. Like, I'm not as nervous about that as you guys are. For me, it's just that he's an older guy who's getting older.
So I would go D, where John is, will to win, and I'll tell you why. Ashlyn, I'd be where you are if I'm the Sixers asking him to be the main guy or like a definitive number two. I don't think the Sixers need all of that from Paul George, because I do think Embiid and Maxey are so skilled that they could be the leaders talent-wise. I think they need a guy, like I remember in one of the Rockies when Rock's, I think it's Rocky too when he's not fighting and mixed training other fighters, and he calls Rocky over. He's like, Rock, show this guy what it's like to hit when you know, with a snarl. Like when you hit, snarl. And he's showing one of the other bum boxers. And then Rock hits with a snarl. Like, that's what I need from Paul George. Like, sure, the skill, the talent, I need that. But I don't need him to score 27 points a game. I mean, I think there was a year in OKC he scored 28. So my point, Ashton, like, if he scores 18 points and that's less than 22 points because he's declining, fine. I mean, I'm fine with that. Like, when the 76ers won the title in 83, Julius Erving was declining. He was declining. He had gone from their best player probably to the third best player. Certainly behind Moses, maybe behind Andrew Toney by 83. So I can use him as my three, but I need him to know in a postseason game, I got to dive on the floor for the loose ball. Josh Hart's going to jump really high. I got to jump really high.
I know he's declining. I know he's declining. The numbers say he's declining. The numbers say his foul shooting, while it's incredible, over 90%, he's taken less foul shots. He doesn't take it to the hoop the way he once did.
Exactly.
He doesn't have that same burst that he once
Which
did.
Which is fine.
But
it's
I
understandable.
Don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need that burst. I love the fact that this guy is a set up and shoot in the clutch.
That does master. Help. That helps a lot. Because they really haven't. I mean, Maxey's come on recently, but they never Jimmy Butler, I should say. They had Jimmy Butler for half a season, who you felt like you could give the ball to in the last 3 minutes and say.
Well, he was different because you felt like you could ISO with him. Like you
well,
could
you
give
can
it to
ISO,
him
you can ISO
could,
with Paul George.
Absolutely.
But my concern
I'm
with,
saying Jimmy was different because he was the only one on that team who could isolate.
He was. I mean, Redick wasn't doing it. Ben wasn't doing it. Tobias wasn't doing it, and Joel's Joel. I mean, yeah, all right. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Talk to Justin, our buddy Justin in Tennessee. What's up, Justin?
What's happening, ladies and fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, Justin.
So when you say ladies,
well, I mean,
who's the second lady?
I've gotten used to saying ladies because Devin and Rhea, and I realize that Ashlyn's the only one there. But
there you go,
man. I'm trying to put ladies first.
Listen, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
Yeah. So I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be on with y'all this fine Tuesday morning. Ashlyn the Gator Sullivan, James the Dog the Camera, John Trick and Richie, and Joe the Melon the Camera.
I like your style, Justin.
Joe, hold on. Joe the Melon the Camera is what he said.
Joe,
Yes!
Dude, that's awesome.
Write it down. New nickname.
No,
write it down.
It wasn't me. In the words of Shaggy,
sure.
It wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. All right, Melon.
No, it was Shaggy.
Should we call Mel for short?
Oh, yes.
For the love of God.
I don't know if you know the whole lot about that story, my man.
Yes, because I was in the apartment, but not in the room, not the individual. It was not me with the cantaloupe, all right?
Okay.
If anyone misses this, it's a whole thing. And it was a roommate in college with a cantaloupe, not one.
Likely story.
All right.
So, do y'all think, like, by the time I get up there on the 12th, watch the Fields play the 8th? Do you think they're going to keep Bryce and Schwarber out until after the All-Star break, or do you think one of them, both of them, may be back by then? Because, I mean, I really want to see those guys play, but I understand you want to.
Look, I'd say, Justin, I think Rob Thompson is someone you can take at his word. I mean, I think his history is he's pretty forthcoming and authentic, and he was very clear in a piece of audio we played yesterday, which I believe was from the weekend, that when those guys are ready to play, they play. This is not
they have
like
a chance to come back before.
So I can't answer your question. Like, I don't know the answer, obviously. But if they feel they're ready to play, you know, 2 or 3 days before the games, before the All-Star break, I don't think they'll hold them out just to give them, like, an extra 8 days off. I just don't think they will. Nor do I think they should. I mean, if you're healthy, go play. Let's go.
I selfishly would like to see them play, but, you know, like, with hamstrings, we all know hamstrings are just a touchy thing. You do the least little thing, you're going to tweak it again. But I know Bryce has made All-Star teams with the Phillies before, but has he actually played in an All-Star game yet?
Not yet.
I didn't think he had. He's been injured. Like, he's been hitting the face with the ball, hitting the hand with the ball. So, I mean, it would be nice to see him represent the Phillies for the first time. I mean, he's been there a while. But
Justin, think of it this way. When he signed that contract in February 2019, what are the chances that Bryce Harper, 5 years in, would have been in a World Series with the Phillies but not an All-Star game?
Also win an MVP with the Phillies and not win an All-Star game.
What are the chances of that? It's almost impossible. Justin, give me a great combination, two TV roles.
Okay, I got one, but I know I can't win, but it's a pretty good one in my opinion, at least from down here in the South. But Ashland, my Vols won the College World Series. We're national champions.
Oh, here we go.
Go Vols!
Go Vols! Anyway, I would say Barney Fife and Mr. Furley from...
Pretty good answer.
Don Knotts action.
That's a pretty good answer right there.
Nice.
I like that a lot. All right, we go to Bill in New Jersey. Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I got... Al Bundy and the father in Modern Family.
Has already been said. Give me a different answer.
Well, how about Drew Carey and Price is Right?
Yeah, it's a good answer in the Drew Carey Show. Yeah.
That is pretty good.
That's huge.
Well, here's the problem. Price is Right isn't what it used to be. It's pretty big.
It's still massive, and it's still on
it's
every day.
It's not massive.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
on
it's not.
Every
it's
single
not
day.
It's
come
not
on,
massive.
Because it's not massive to you?
No,
because
it's just
a different spot in your life?
Come on.
No, none of those shows are what they used to be. It just is what it is.
Totally not what they used to be.
Price is Right is still Price is Right. And it's still on every day. The people who are home have a chance to see it,
and
like they always did.
And they typically don't.
How do you know?
And they sit there and think, man, remember when Bob Barker used to be here?
Exactly right. All right, let's get to more of Spike. Spike was obviously doing a show yesterday. When Spike talks Sixers, we like to listen. Here's Spike on the Paul George thing as it relates to pressure, playing in Philly, perception of the Sixers organization. This was some interesting stuff.
He just played with James Harden.
Thank God he didn't listen to him.
Yes, he played with James Harden, who told him not to come here because of Joel, told him not to come here because of Daryl, told him not to come here because of us, and he did it anyway. Like, I guess my thing is, for whatever reason, he chose to be here. Mm-hmm. And all I'm going to say is that he had to think about it. He's had to think about, do I really want to deal with all that stuff at this point in my career? Do I really want to deal with the pressure cooker that's Philly? Do I really want to go where it's cold in the winter? Do I really want to deal with a player who is hurt all the time? And he said yes. And he said yes. And I'm sure money plays a factor in it, but money would play a factor in it for all of us.
It is pretty cool, man. I mean, when you think about what James Harden probably put in Paul George's brain, you know, it's impossible to think James Harden got out there and did not talk to his teammates and say, get a load of Philly.
I'm positive Harden tried to poison Paul George to Philadelphia and everything. And clearly, it did not work. Clearly, what I believe is the truth won out. You know, I don't think James Harden is representing us accurately.
I don't either.
And so, yeah, it's cool to see that Paul George can see through the smoke show whatever you'd call it.
I want to bring up another point that I think's gotten a little lost in the shuffle here because it's been a year, so maybe people forget how messy it was last year with James Harden and Daryl Morey. And James, you know this is I don't want to say near and dear to my heart, but it matters to me as a Sixers fan. Daryl Morey held a line last year with James Harden. And he held a line that like 99% of people thought he wouldn't hold.
While being publicly like attacked.
Attacked. Really attacked. Like really, really, really
like
attacked.
Like the stuff James Harden said about him was rough, man.
It was rough.
Like it was rough.
It was. And everyone had the misconception that Daryl Morey would give James Harden all the money just because. They're tied at the hip. No, but they are. And it's like, yeah, but they shouldn't pay him all. But that doesn't matter what you think. He's going to give it to him anyway. And then he did.
And he did the smart thing.
And John, if Daryl Morey had done that, we're not in this spot. We're just not. So, you know, I'm not saying, guys, I'm the biggest pro Daryl Morey guy. Let me be clear. I'm not the biggest pro Morey guy. I think he's better than some people think. But, like, I don't think he's walking water guy. But he held a line. Mm-hmm. And with that, and Joel Embiid was patient. And without those two realities, this whole thing could be mighty different right now.
He held the line that was very difficult to hold because of the way that James Harden dealt with the whole situation.
He refused.
Made it impossible.
He refused to play.
As impossible as possible.
Yes.
And he still held that line and got us to where we are. Which
outrageous.
And got something when Harden said, you're trading me to the Clippers and that's it. And he still got something back.
Got two first-round picks.
It's admirable.
And you know what he did, James? He waited.
Yep.
One of the biggest things in life is patience.
He waited.
He
waited until the perfect moment. Now, at the inception of free agency, he attacked. And he was out there with Paul George.
It's a different deal,
the moment free agency started and didn't leave until he'd sealed the deal, bringing him back.
That's right.
He won the biggest free agent in all of free agency, did what we needed to do, did the best possible thing for this team moving forward, the smartest possible thing. And you got to give him credit.
All right, what Brian Windhorst says about the 76ers getting Paul George, we'll get to that next. All the calls on all these topics, the Eagles, the defense, the Phils, the roster, as these guys battle for a couple roster spots. Ashland, I'd be where you are if I'm the Sixers asking him to be the main guy or like a definitive number two. I don't think the Sixers need all of that from Paul George, because I do think Embiid and Maxey are so skilled that they could be the leaders talent-wise. I think they need a guy. Like, I remember in one of the Rockies when Rock's, I think it's Rocky II when he's not fighting and Mick's training other fighters and he calls Rocky over. He's like, Rock, show this guy what it's like to hit when with a snarl. Like when you hit snarl. And he's showing one of the other bum boxers. And then Rock hits with a snarl. Like, that's what I need from Paul George. Like, sure, the skill, the talent, I need that. But I don't need him to score 27 points a game. I mean, I think there was a year in OKC he scored 28. So my point, Ashton, like, if he scores 18 points and that's less than 22 points because he's declining, fine. I mean, I'm fine with that. Like, when the 76ers won the title in 83, Julius Erving was declining. He was declining. He had gone from their best player probably to their third best player. Certainly behind Moses, maybe behind Andrew Toney by 83. So I can use him as my three, but I need him to know in a postseason game, I got to dive on the floor for the loose ball. Josh Hart's going to jump really high. I got to jump really high.
I know he's declining. I know he's declining. The numbers say he's declining. The numbers say the his foul shooting, while it's incredible, over 90%, he's taking less foul shots. He doesn't take it to the hoop the way he once did.
Exactly.
He doesn't have that same burst that he once
did. Which is fine.
But
it's
understandable. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need that burst. I love the fact that this guy is a set up and shoot in the clutch.
That does help. That helps a lot. Because they really haven't. I mean, Maxey's come on recently, but they never well, Jimmy Butler, I should say. They had Jimmy Butler for half a season, who you felt like you could give the ball to in the last 3 minutes and say.
Well, he was different because you felt like you could ISO with him. Like you
well, you
give
can
it
ISO,
to him
you can ISO
could,
with Paul George.
Absolutely.
But my concern
I'm
with,
saying Jimmy was different because he was the only one on that team who could isolate.
He was. I mean, Redick wasn't doing it. Ben wasn't doing it. Tobias wasn't doing it, and Joel's Joel. I mean, yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Talk to Justin, our buddy Justin in Tennessee. What's up, Justin?
What's happening, ladies and fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, Justin.
So when you say ladies,
well, I mean,
who's the second lady?
I've gotten used to saying ladies because Devin and Rhea, and I realize that Ashlyn's the only one there. But
there you go.
Habit, man, I'm trying to put ladies first.
Listen, so, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be on with y'all this fine Tuesday morning. Ashlyn the Gator Sullivan, James the Dog the Camera, John Trick and Richie, and Joe the Melon the Camera.
I like your style, Justin.
Joe the Melon the Camera is what he said. yes!
That's dude, that, awesome.
No,
that's,
write it down. New nickname. No, write it down.
It wasn't me. In the words of Shaggy,
sure.
It wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. All right, Melon.
No, it was Shaggy.
Should we call Mel for short?
Oh, yes.
For the love of God.
I don't know if you know the whole lot about that story, my man.
Yes, because I was in the apartment, but not in the room, not the individual. It was not me with the cantaloupe, all right?
Okay.
If anyone misses yesterday, it's a...
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. And it was a roommate in college with a cantaloupe, not one.
Likely story.
All right.
So, all right. Do y'all think, like, by the time I get up there on the 12th, watch the Fields play the A's, do you think they're going to keep Bryce and Schwarber out until after the All-Star break? Or do you think one of them, both of them, may be back by then? Because, I mean, I really want to see those guys play. But I understand you want to.
Look, I'll tell you, Justin, I think Rob Thompson is someone you can take at his word. I mean, I think his history is he's pretty forthcoming and authentic. And he was very clear in a piece of audio we played yesterday, which I believe was from the weekend, that when those guys are ready to play, they play. This is not
they have a chance to come back before.
So I can't answer your question. Like, I don't know the answer, obviously. But if they feel they're ready to play, you know, 2 or 3 days before the games, before the All-Star break, I don't think they'll hold them out just to give them, like, an extra 8 days off. I just don't think they will. Nor do I think they should. I mean, if you're healthy, go play. Let's go.
I selfishly would like to see them play, but, you know, like, with hamstrings, we all know hamstrings are just a touchy thing. You do the least little thing, you're going to tweak it again. But I know Bryce has made All-Star teams with the Phillies before, but has he actually played in an All-Star game yet?
Not yet.
I didn't think he had. He's been injured. Like, he's been hitting the face with the ball, hitting the hand with the ball. So, I mean, it would be nice to see him represent the Phillies for the first time. It's, I mean, he's been there a while. But
Justin, think of it this way. When he signed that contract in February 2019, what are the chances that Bryce Harper, 5 years in, would have been in a World Series with the Phillies but not an All-Star game?
Also win an MVP with the Phillies and not be an All-Star game.
What are the chances of that? It's almost impossible. Justin, give me a great combination, two TV roles.
Okay, I got one, but I know I can't win, but it's a pretty good one in my opinion, at least from down here in the South. But Ashlyn, my Vols won the College World Series. We're national champions.
Oh, here we go.
Go Vols!
Go Vols! Anyway, I would say Barney Fife and Mr. Furley from...
Pretty good answer.
Don Knotts action.
That's pretty good answer right there.
Nice.
I like that a lot. All right, we go to Bill in New Jersey. Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I got... Al Bundy and the father in Modern Family.
Has already been said. Give me a different answer.
Well, How about Drew Carey and Price is Right?
Yeah, it's a good answer. Wow. In the Drew Carey Show. Yeah.
That is pretty good.
That's huge.
Well, here's the problem. Price is Right isn't what it used to be. It's pretty big.
It's still massive, and it's still on every day.
It's not massive.
Yes, it is.
It's not every single day.
Massive.
Come on,
it's not massive to you?
No.
It's just a different spot in your life?
Come on.
No, none of those shows are what they used to be. It just is what it is.
Totally not what they used to be.
Price is Right is still Price is Right, and it's still on every day. The people who are home have a chance to see it,
and
just like they always did.
And they typically don't.
How do you know?
And they sit there and think, man, remember when Bob Barker used to be here?
Right, exactly. All right, let's get to more of Spike. Spike was obviously doing a show yesterday with Spike Talk Sixers. We like to listen. Here's Spike on the Paul George thing as it relates to pressure, playing in Philly, perception of the Sixers organization. This was some interesting stuff.
He just played with James Harden.
Thank God he didn't listen to him.
Yes, he played with James Harden, who told him not to come here because of Joel, told him not to come here because of Daryl, told him not to come here because of us, and he did it anyway. Like, I guess my thing is, he for whatever reason, he chose to be here. Mm-hmm. And all I'm going to say is that he had to think about it. He's had to think about, do I really want to deal with all that stuff at this point in my career? Do I really want to deal with the pressure cooker that's Philly? Do I really want to go where it's cold in the winter? Do I really want to deal with a player who is hurt all the time? And he said yes. And he said yes. And I'm sure money plays a factor in it, but money would play a factor in it for all of us.
Yeah.
It
is pretty cool, man. I mean, when you think about what James Harden probably put in Paul George's brain, you know, it's impossible to think James Harden got out there and did not talk to his teammates and say, get a load of Philly.
I'm positive Harden tried to poison Paul George to Philadelphia and everything. And clearly, it did not work. Clearly, what I believe is the truth won out. You know, I don't think James Harden is representing us accurately.
I don't either.
And so, yeah, it's cool to see that Paul George can see through the smoke show whatever you'd call it.
I want to bring up another point that I think has gotten a little lost in the shuffle here because it's been a year, so maybe people forget how messy it was last year with James Harden and Daryl Morey. And James, you know this is I don't want to say near and dear to my heart, but it matters to me as a Sixers fan. Daryl Morey held a line last year with James Harden. And he held a line that like 99% of people thought he wouldn't hold.
While being publicly like attacked.
Attacked. Really attacked. Like really, really, really
like
attacked.
Like the stuff James Harden said about him was rough, man.
It was rough.
Like it was rough.
It was. And everyone had the misconception that Daryl Morey would give James Harden all the money just because. They're tied at the hip. No, but they are. And it's like, yeah, but they shouldn't pay him all. But that doesn't matter what you think. He's going to give it to him anyway. And then he did.
And he did the smart thing.
And John, if Daryl Morey had done that, we're not in this spot. We're just not. So, you know, I'm not saying, guys, I'm the biggest pro Daryl Morey guy. Let me be clear. I'm not the biggest pro Morey guy. I think he's better than some people think. But, like, I don't think he's walking water guy. But he held a line. Mm-hmm. And Joel Embiid was patient. And without those two realities, this whole thing could be mighty different right now.
He held the line that was very difficult to hold because of the way that James Harden dealt with the whole situation.
He refused.
Made it impossible.
He refused to play.
As impossible as possible.
Yes.
And he still held that line and got us to where we are. Which
outrageous.
And got something when Harden said, you're trading me to the Clippers and that's it. And he still got something back.
Got two first round picks.
It's admirable.
And you know what he did, James? He waited.
Yep.
One of the biggest things in life is patience.
He waited.
He waited.
He waited until the perfect moment. Now, at the inception of free agency, he attacked. And he was out there with Paul George.
It's a different deal,
the moment free agency started and didn't leave until he'd sealed the deal, bringing him back.
That's right.
He won the biggest free agent in all of free agency, did what we needed to do, did the best possible thing for this team moving forward, the smartest possible thing. And you got to give him credit.
All right, what Brian Windhorst says about the 76ers getting Paul George, we'll get to that next. All the calls on all these topics, the Eagles, the defense. that fills the roster. As these guys battle for a couple roster spots for the postseason, we're seeing them a lot these days. Phils and Cubs tonight and everything on Paul George and the Sixers. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie on WIP.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.